Good morning. Glad that you're here today. We have been in this series called Carols Now. This is week number 2. How many of you have enjoyed singing Christmas carols? Yeah, me too. Me too. I always joked around because it's just been within the past couple of years that I've gotten back into Christmas carols. Because when I used to do, was a worship pastor for a long time. And when you're a worship pastor, you start planning worship songs in July for the Christmas season. So you listen to Christmas songs for 6 months. And then by the time Christmas gets here, you hate all of the Christmas carols. And they drive you crazy. So I'm excited to like Christmas carols again and get to sing them with you. But we've been taking it a step beyond that and talking about the carols and their significance and their meanings and going kind of line by line and talking about how they connect to Scripture. So what is a carol? A carol is a religious folk song or hymn typically associated with Christmas. And so there is a difference between Christmas songs and Christmas carols. Christmas songs is the Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas is You. And a carol is something specific to religion, celebrating the birth of Jesus. And so can anybody guess what today's song is? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No. No, we're not going to talk about Mariah Carey today. Although I could probably find some kind of significance in that song somewhere, maybe. Probably. Yeah. But I'm going to be the one singing it that day if we do it. Hit that high note. No, so we're talking about O Little Town of Bethlehem. Good guess. Way to go. So this song is... It's such a unique song because it's not like a lot of the other songs. It follows this wonderful story. And songs in general play a story of telling the story of Jesus and telling about the good news. In fact, in Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." And so when we sing, when we sing out to God, we're not just engaging in some sort of ritual or anything like that. It's actually engaging both of our mind and our emotions in worship of God. And so, I don't know, how many of you, like, felt something when you sang Silent Night? Okay, most of you in this room, right? Like, you feel something. And sometimes when you sing these Christmas songs in the Christmas carols, you're like, I have no idea what that means, but it made me cry. Like, it made me tear up or whatever. And it really does. It really does engage both of our minds. It's like there's some deep theological messages written into some of these carols, and sometimes we have to kind of discover what that is together, but it also pulls on our emotions, and that's what a really, really good Christmas carol will do for you. Sometimes, though, we grow so familiar to singing just the words that I think we lose the significance of the words, right? It's like when you were a kid and you were singing one of your favorite songs and your mom found out that was your favorite song and she's like, hey, you probably shouldn't sing that because it says such and such and such. And you don't even know what that means, right? You didn't realize that was bad at the time. And then she's like, oh, well, now we have to have a conversation about the thing, right? But it's the same kind of thing. Sometimes we're singing some of these Christmas carols and we get so accustomed to just rolling through the words and singing them that we don't take the time to actually sit down and really engage mentally and figure out what it means. And so that's what we're doing through this message series. Each week we're looking at these carols to see how its message points to the joy, the peace, and the hope that we find in Jesus. So, Little Town of Bethlehem. It was written in 1867 by Phillips Brooks. It's the great-great-great-great-grandfather of Garth Brooks. No. Okay, it's not. But that's over 156 years ago. It's an old, old, old carol. He was an Episcopal pastor from Philadelphia, and he, 2 years before he wrote this song, he actually went and celebrated Christmas in Bethlehem. And so a couple years after he returned from this trip, I'm sure, which was life-changing for him, he decided to write down and describe the city as Brooks imagined it might have been the night of Jesus' birth. So I'm going to read the first verse. And if you are following along in your Bible, then you can go ahead and turn it to Micah 5 while I'm reading the verse. You're welcome. All right, so the first verse is this. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. So this first verse is actually kind of almost a direct quote from Micah 5. And so you'll kind of see a little bit of the verse coming through here. So let's read this. Micah 5, 2 and 3, it says, But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clan of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the old, from the ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who was in labor bears a son and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. So what I find interesting about this first little line is that it says, O little town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem wasn't really that small, right? And so we're thinking about Bethlehem being the place where multiple people are coming together for census, and we're thinking about people engaging and coming together. It had to be some kind of hub, right? And so Bethlehem wouldn't have necessarily been really small. So the reference to the little town of Bethlehem comes directly from Micah 5, because Bethlehem was a part of the clan of Judah. Yes, like the one we sing in Lion, right? But not only is that the fact that Christ was born into the tribe of Judah in Bethlehem a fulfillment of the prophecy, but it was also a part of his humble birth. And so when we say that little town of Bethlehem, what we mean is that the tribe of Judah was not considered the greatest among the tribes of Israel. And so it wasn't seen as this mighty force of a nation or a people, right? They were the people who were lesser than. They didn't have the military might. They didn't have the political power that some of the other tribes of Judah would have had. So a little town of Bethlehem would have been referenced to the fact that the tribe of Judah who lived in Bethlehem were not as mighty as some of the other tribes. And the fact that Jesus was born into the tribe or through the lineage of Judah was a testament to how humble his birth would have been, right? There's a whole lot going on in that first little line of this song, right? So not only is this first verse part of that prophecy, but it also, Micah is warning, Micah's prophecy here is a warning. It's a warning of what is going to happen and what ends up happening. And so go back to Micah. It says, though you're small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one for me who is ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old and ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son. So that's a warning, right? That's kind of concerning for the nation of Israel, because there's been multiple prophecies at this point that they're going to be silenced by God. And for 400 years before the birth of Jesus, nobody heard from God. It was silence, right? Israel had abandoned God, but God had a plan. But it didn't come into fruition until 400 years later. So when we go back to that first verse, above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. The dreamless sleep would have been the fact that they didn't have any prophecies for 400 years, that they were terrified because they did not hear from God, because as much as they cried out to God, they just couldn't hear his voice anymore. But then the next line is this: yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. Even in the time when there was a 400-year silence, the Israelites awaited the Messiah, the king who would be born in the city of Bethlehem. You see, this reference from Micah would have been 500 years or so before Christ was ever born. That it says that he was going to be born and that there would be silence before that point. And so this first line of this song is talking about the darkness that Israel would have experienced before the light. And that's what Carrie was referring to earlier, that in this moment, the Israelites were unsure of what their future was going to be. But they knew that they would have a hope soon enough. In modern-day city streets in Bethlehem, nowadays, they're probably pretty quiet on Christmas Day. A lot of the stores and businesses are probably closed. A lot of people are at home with their family, and so when we're talking about the streets of Bethlehem being quiet, yet in the dark streets shineth the everlasting light, right? When we're talking about that, most people are going to be at home with their families, but I bet that Bethlehem was not quiet the night of Jesus' birth. And the reason is because there was no room anywhere, no inns that were open. There was no hotel rooms that were available, right? The Airbnbs were all filled up. All of the VRBOs were completely taken, much like the eclipse that's going to happen. There will be nowhere for you to lay your head, right? And so the streets were likely full of people, probably sleeping on the streets, sleeping in stables and in barns, knocking on people's homes to see if they could stay with friends or relatives or neighbors, right? And so this song doesn't speak to the silence of the night. It does speak to the fact that few people realized the significance of the birth that was happening in a stall, in a manger, in a bed of hay, right? They knew about the prophecy. They knew that they had been living in darkness. They knew that there was a Savior that was coming, but the significance of that night would have been lost on them because they had no way of knowing what exactly was going on, right? They're busy with the hustle and the bustle, and yet in that quiet little stall, there was a miracle being born. Verse 2 says this: for Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars, together proclaim thy holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. You see, even though the people in Bethlehem may not have realized the significance of this moment and what was going on and the miracle that was taking place, there was an entire world of heavenly beings who were rejoicing at this moment because God's promises were about to be fulfilled, right? There's a few people who were aware, and the same could be said today. You see, we go through our days and we're busy, and through the holiday season especially, right? Because we've got dance recitals and plays, and we've got band concerts and sports, and we have Christmas shopping, and we have all of these things that we're responsible for that we have to get done, and we're going through our to-do list, and there's just no room in our calendars, and we get so busy that with everything else that we completely are oblivious to the miracles, to the spiritual realities, to the things that are going on inside of our hearts and in our minds that are happening to us every single day, right? We get so oblivious to the things that are happening around us in the spiritual realm because we're so busy and we can't seem to keep our head above the water. And I think sometimes we need to stop in the middle of this holiday season to be able to realize the miracle of this birth and to praise and to sing to God because he did bring peace to earth. Verse 3 says this, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in a world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. You see, when Jesus came into this world, he came quietly, right? He came to the least of the tribes. He was not a mighty warrior. He was not a rich king. He was not born of royalty, right? He was born to Mary and Joseph, a carpenter, in a stall in the middle of a town of Bethlehem, where it was the most humble thing that could possibly happen. You see, the fact that he came into this world in such a humble way, it was so quiet, the people of Bethlehem would not have realized the significance of this. But the only announcement that we see is the angels announcing his coming into a small group of humble shepherds out on the outskirts of town. That was the only announcement of his birth. And we see them and the wise men are the only ones that are really gathered around in this significant moment. There was no public celebration. There was no declaration of his coming for this birth of a king. His picture wasn't printed into the newspaper. His mommy and daddy didn't want to pay for that, for the ad, right? There was no announcement for him. But yet, when you and I, when we put our faith in Jesus, he comes and he lives inside of us in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He comes and he dwells within us. And in John 14, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." You see, when Christ comes into our lives, when he comes into our hearts, it's a quiet entrance, much like his birth. Some people choose, they may not even realize the difference at first. And it's like growing up in church, I was always under this impression that when you got saved, that it was like this monumental, life-changing, instantaneous moment, right? And it's like I'm free and I don't have to do any of the things that I did before and it's wonderful and I'm going to go out of this place and I'm not going to do all the things that I used to do because I'm a new person. And while it's true, yes, you are a new creation in him who dwells within you, at the same time, we still have that humanity that continues to grind against our spirituality, right? And so to think for a moment that when we exit this place after we accept Christ into our hearts, that we're just going to go out and we're going to be perfect people is just not realistic, right? In fact, there's probably a lot of really smart people that are like, that's impossible, and so why can that be true, right? Because it's not true, because we're still human, because we're still going to make mistakes. But it's a quiet entrance, and sometimes at first we don't even recognize the difference in ourselves But when we trust in Jesus, there is a significant event that takes place in our hearts. When we trust in Jesus, we begin to take these small action steps and we begin to move more and more towards Him. We become more and more like Him. We forget about the things that we used to do and the things that we want to forget about because God is with us. And He sends that advocate, that Holy Spirit, to guide us in and through us. And so when Jesus does come in and it's a quiet moment between us and God, your sins are forgiven. And you do have a new identity in God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has gone and the new is here." But understand that even though that new is here, and even though we are considered a new creation and we are a child of God, there are gonna be moments where our humanity begins to try to creep back in and not allow us to live the life that God has planned for us. But that Holy Spirit, that quiet helper, begins to do a work, a mighty work in and through our lives. How silently the wondrous gift is given, right? So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. Those blessings of His heaven that He imparts to us is that Holy Spirit coming in and guiding us and helping us. You see, we can experience His salvation and enjoy His presence as individuals. And even though the world that's around us doesn't understand what's going on in our hearts, even though the world around us may not understand the things that are different about us now than when we used to be something different, there is, in fact, something different. And even if it's silent, even if it's quiet, even if it's small, there is a change that is happening in every single one of us who call ourselves believers. And as we take those action steps, God begins to impart to us our human hearts, the wonders of His heavens. And it all started in a little town of Bethlehem. And the little town of Bethlehem, it all began right there. In the most humble way possible. And so sometimes I think that our humanity that we struggle with, those things that we fight, those things that we wrestle with, if we were to just give them up to God and humble ourselves and allow God to begin to do the work in and through our hearts, right? Then that's when we begin to see the wonders of His heaven. That's when He begins to do a mighty work in and through us. But so many times we're like, "God, I got this. I can do this on my own," right? Or, "Nah, I don't really want to get rid of that one," right? "I need to hang on to that one. God, I really don't want to release this to You." But when we come to Him in humbleness and we begin to seek Him in a new way, when we see God as this humble king and not some mighty force or warrior, then it brings Him down to this place where He's more relatable to us, where we can see ourselves in Him, where we can see ourselves being like Him. And so today, as I kind of wrap up this message, as we've talked about this little town of Bethlehem, I want us to pray together, but I want us to pray all together. And so we're going to put up verse 4. And this is going to be our prayer for today. And so as I say this, I want you guys to repeat this, not repeat it, but say it along with me. And this is going to be our prayer today, and then I'm going to pray for us as well. So verse 4. "O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, O Lord Emmanuel. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? And this moment today, this verse is all we need to enter into that relationship with God. This verse is us casting away our sin, our ambition, our futures, and allowing God to come in and make a difference and to abide with us and to be with us. So God, I pray today that as we go through this busy season, as we go through this holiday season, God, I pray that number one, we would remember that sometimes we have to go through darkness in order to see your light. The Israelites went through a 400-year darkness where you were not speaking to the prophets, where you were not engaging with them so that you could prepare a way for salvation for all. That you would send your son to be born to a humble tribe in a city of Bethlehem, in a manger, in a stable, where nobody knew what was going on, where the people in Bethlehem went about their busy lives, not knowing the significance of that moment. But God, all around Jesus, there were a host of angels. There was a spiritual awakening that was being born in that moment. So God, I pray today that each of us would begin to reflect on ourselves and in our hearts and in our minds. God, that we would put to the side our pride, that we would put to the side our selfish ambitions, that we would put to the side all of the things, God, that you've asked us to leave behind. And God, that we would humble ourselves, that we could come before you and ask you, God, to be with us. God, I pray today that each and every one of us, as we sit here in this moment, God, that we would begin to think about our lives, that we would begin to think about every aspect. And God, that you would begin to allow us to work in and through our lives, being humble to you, God, and allowing the Holy Spirit to do its mighty work in and through our hearts. God, we love you. We thank you for everything that you're doing in this place. God, I pray that as we go through this busy season, God, that we would seek you out and that we would seek that light to shine in and through our hearts. We love you, God, and we thank you. It's all this we ask. In your precious name, amen.